Hi, all y'all. Good to have you drop in for episode 14 of our 15-week limited series podcast. Looks like we are coming down the home stretch with this and only one more podcast episode. It's country cowgirl Dr. D and Blue Waters, a Nashville recording artist whose voice will be behind each week's country song that guides the book reading from my soon-to-be-published I'm Just a Country Song, Three Chords and Only My Truth. Last episode, we wrapped up by playing a teaser of this episode's song. As always, we gave a quiz question about the song. Okay, Blue, the question is, what three things is the Gambler song about, making it a true country song?
It is about a train, a stranger, and a game of poker.
Oh, yeah. For those who are new to country music, or those who just need a refresher, country songs are just plain red, white, and blue American, and have been said to have four themes. They are, it's all over, it's not working out, love and heartbreak, or the right way to live. I believe The Gambler is maybe about all four themes. Blue, I don't think country is country without talking about mama, jail, a train, a truck, heartbreak, or getting back together, beer, hard work, and good times. Each week, I share how the episode's country song chose me. This chapter is about my brother and me. He was there when I entered this earth with my plastic cowgirl's boots on, showed up when I needed him, and to this day, he is my rock. Just like the gambler, he taught me the game was best played, reading others' reactions and knowing how to navigate life's card game. He explained it was bad luck and bad manners to count your money in front of others, especially friends, because it was akin to counting your chickens before they hatched. Your turn, Blue, in the card game of life. How do you know what cards to throw away, when to fold them, and when to run?
You know, I don't always know right off the bat, but when I do get that instinctual gut feeling that something isn't right, it isn't very long before I remove myself. Each time this happens, I learn a little more and pick up on it a little sooner. I used to simply assume that everyone I meet is a good person who bears good fruit, but unfortunately that isn't the case.
Yeah, it's a hard lesson to learn. I like to think we keep our positivity, Blue, and I know you do. As we all know, podcast listeners, Blue's one of my favorite country singers. So, Blue, time for you to sing our episode song, after which I will pull out the lyrics that guide this week's chapter read about knowing what life cards to let go of and what to keep. Grab your guitar, Blue.
All right, here it goes.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness, till boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, brushed out his cigarette and faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. And in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
The Gambler, singer Kenny Rogers, writer Don Schlitz. Lyrics: you've got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Life truly is a card game of 52 cards in a deck, representing the 52 weeks of the year. And if you counted up the symbols on that deck of cards, you would get 365, equal to the number of days in a year, with exception of leap year. And there is even a card for that, the Joker. There is much symbolism that ties the game of life with a card deck. My life with my brother in it is a true example of the magic in shuffling the cards you are dealt. Together, we reinforced each other's knowing that it all comes down to training, practice, never being totally satisfied doing any one thing, and pursuing what caught our eye with a relentless perseverance. Two kids, growing up on a farm, isolated from others, but not even caring about the world beyond the red dirt of Jacksonville Road, where it was T-boned in the valley by another gravel road. I have a picture of my brother and me engraved in my mind, with me in a little red wagon being hauled around by him on his bike with training wheels. Occasionally, I could be pesty and he could be moody, but the two of us, we have been attached and guiding each other through the last 7 decades. We took turns teaching the other and being there for support. My brother was first up, simply by the linear order of his being 2 years older and far more calm than his burst of energy couldn't sit still, sis. We were dealt different cards early, although our time together was comprised of that same freedom that comes when you're kicked out of the house when the sun was warm enough and told not to come back in until supper was on the table. He was given two boy cousins and a neighborhood boy to immerse in the male side of things, and I was tolerated and taught the most amazing gift of make-believe playmates and quickly learned early on that I was my own best friend and spent many hours alone and full of possibilities. His card game was filled with baseball, haymaking in the summer, and lots of fishing. Mine was filled with dance, book reading, and climbing trees. But when I looked over my shoulder, I could feel he was always there, making sure I was safe and secure. Throughout his life, our parents would ask him where I was, as if I was his responsibility. And to this day, he chooses to retain that same responsibility for his one and only sis. You might say we both survived our ups and downs through the thick of the cards we wanted to keep and the thin of the hand dealt we chose to fold on, because we knew that if we had no one else when we fell, he had his sis and I had my brother to lean on. There was a shift for both of us when the family moved due to our father's need for more stable work. Without his childhood buddies, my brother put his heart and soul into sports. There wasn't one he couldn't master. How many high school seniors do you know that walk in their senior year onto the field and announce they are going to be successful at tight end? Yep. Not many, but my brother did. His recollection of me after our move from the holler was described by the musical Annie, Get Your Gun. When the lead sang, "Anything you can do, I can do better." Whether it was grades, school play leads, cheerleading, class officer titles, and the list goes on. I buried myself in books, and he forgot to bring his home from school. When our card hand shifted and we left the smaller world of the farm, neither of us attached ourselves to the concept of home again. We were on that same train bound for nowhere, with him dodging the Vietnam War draft by showing up for the dreaded physical, while the draft center had too many to choose from, and he was sent home. I chose the train for college, knowing it might be my ticket for the next outbound platform. Interesting about the cards you are dealt as life passes. They may be distinctively yours, but the outcome may prove to be the same. My brother's hand took him to the factory route, which he quickly folded when a 22-year-old factory veteran told him pushing assembly line buttons was not his destiny and it was time to run to prove his worth. He learned quickly that you are given the privilege of going beyond hourly structure when you earn the right to be self-directed. I learned the same lesson by making sure my name came up when a job opening or opportunity was presented. Although I traveled the country first, he followed in my footsteps, sometimes crisscrossing the various states he called home. When we would find each other through important life ceremonies or family events, I would share my wisdom, and he would simply say his mantra, ask, believe, and receive. When his health began to take a troublesome turn, I knew it was time to make time to be together again. Sometimes it feels as if I am still sitting in that small toy wagon, behind his bike while he pulls me along, grinning just like I did in that old black and white photo of the two of us. We are blessed now with moments of peaceful conversation about our lives, unique but incredibly interwoven. I look to him now to guide me about what cards to throw away and what to keep from this lifetime of ours. He just patiently reminds me, it is not what you know, sis. It's what you don't know, that counts. What I know is that we were and continue to be fascinated by nature, never bored or homesick, and often choose solitude. Just two hardworking kids from nothing, with fiery potential embedded in our blood. We both believe sometime, someday soon, when the dealing is done, we will be smiling, counting our life wins, and simply breaking even with two aces we get to keep. Thanks, y'all, for listening in with Blue and me. We appreciate your being with us on I'm Just a Country Song's 14th episode, guided by Kenny Rogers, the Gambler. It's a story of a brother and sister who were meant to be together before they were born. A song told by a gambler, giving sage advice on how to navigate life's twists and turns, and hopefully for all of us, breaking even at the end of our journeys by being dealt an ace that we can keep. Next week's song, guiding our last podcast, is Lainey Wilson's Heart Like a Truck. It is a near-perfect song for the last of the book's set list of 15 country songs. This lifetime of mine, recorded in my book and guided by the songs that chose me, are of a rambling woman who rarely stayed in one place more than 5 years, always knowing when the getting was gone, always knowing when to throw my truck, Ruby, into drive, embracing the scratches and dents to my dreams, and believing there's always a better day. Plain just having faith in me. Blue, will you strum a few chords and sing a few lines of the country song, Heart Like a Truck?
I sure will.
I never stay in one place too long. The dirt road singing me a siren song. I gotta find a field. I need to spin my wheels. I got a hankering for four wide tires, and I can't help it. It's the way I'm wired. Before you get too close, boy, you need to know. I've got a heart like a truck. Been drug through the mud, runs on dreams and gasoline. That old highway holds a key. It's got a lead foot down when it's leaving. Lord knows it's taking a hell of a beating. A little bit of love is all that it's needed. But as good as it is tough, I got a heart like a truck.
Let's give our usual weekly quiz, Blue, about Lainey Wilson's song, so our listeners will tune in to our last episode for the answer. Here's the question. What makes Heart Like a Truck almost semi-autobiographical? Wow, that's a big word, Blue. How is it like Lainey's moving to Nashville in 2011 and the life she lived before becoming one of Nashville's most popular female artists? Got the answer, Blue?
That's a really good question, because it does seem like it could follow her life story. So we'll see.
It does. Blue, if folks want to learn more about what you are up to and want to find you, where do they go?
They can visit my website at dot.cards/bluecrew. And as you all know by this point, that's spelled B-L-U. You can go to Facebook at Blue Waters Music and follow my page there. You can visit me on Instagram or TikTok at I Am Blue Waters. And you can stream any of my music on all streaming platforms. I have a couple songs out now, and I'm only going to be adding more to that list. So check that out. And as far as my coaching goes, you can check out that website at chooseyourblue.com.
It's my only color. I only choose blue. See you all for the next and our very last episode of the 15 Limited Series podcast, rolling out the chapters in my soon-to-be-published book, I'm Just a Country Song, Three Chords and Only My Truth. Be looking for it soon. Won't you join us? Please join us for podcast episode 15 of 15. That's all for now. Bye, y'all.